The world's longest river has been the lifeline for North Africa longer than recorded history. It's true, the Nile River was the conduit for the spread of advanced societies from present-day Sudan, Ethiopia, and Egypt thousands of years ago. And even though Egypt's latest round of political strife has brought that country's important tourism industry to a halt, the Nile continues to nurture the land as it always has on its 4,000-mile run to the Mediterranean Sea. Long before the space race of the 1960s, explorers in the 19th century set their sights on being the first to locate the true source of the Nile. Now, with a little help from GPS and inflatable powerboats, a handful of determined adventurers have actually been able to locate the very place where the waters that feed the Nile originate. One of those select few to journey all the way to the headwaters of the Nile is a remarkable British woman named Joanna Lumley. She's been honored with the Order of the British Empire, she's a fellow in the Royal Geographical Society, and she's even considered a national treasure in Nepal for her work on behalf of Gurkha veterans. She also happens to be an accomplished actress with roles in dozens of British TV shows and in the movies. She was one of James Bond's girls and appears in Martin Scorsese's upcoming film, The Wolf of Wall Street. But you probably know Joanna Lumley for portraying the beehive-wearing, middle-aged party girl Patsy Stone on the BBC comedy Absolutely Fabulous. She joins us right now on Travel with Rick Steves to take us up the Nile, as seen on public TV in her four-part travel special, Joanna Lumley's Nile. Joanna, thanks for being with us.
Honestly, Rick, wasn't that a treat, though, to be allowed to be given a program saying, would you like to follow the Nile? And first of all, the idea was to start at the source of the Nile and go to the Mediterranean. Then we thought it actually would be much more interesting to start at the Mediterranean, where the great river tips itself out, and to follow it creeping back, the way that over the centuries people have tried to find the source of the Nile by following the Nile and always being grounded. We thought it would be thrilling because, of course, we now do know where the source of the Nile is, kind of.
Joanna, how many borders did you cross to go from the mouth of the Nile all the way to Rwanda?
Well, when we got into the Sudan and got to Khartoum, we then went up into Ethiopia to bring, as it were, the Blue Nile back down to Khartoum.
Right.
But thereafter, we wouldn't, because it was a very unsettled time in the Sudan at the time, and we weren't allowed to go into the interior at all. So we then had to fly down to Uganda,
okay,
and come across north into the Sudan up to Juba,
okay,
to do that journey from there to see the Great Sud.
Oh, I noticed that on your map that you went down the Blue Nile and then you cut over, skipping a bit of the White Nile, and that,
yeah,
was because of political instability.
Oui, I would say.
I love that start in your show when you're with those guys on that rustic boat and then they sort of,
yeah,
declare, we've left the Mediterranean and now we're in the Nile.
We're in the Nile. And everywhere that great mighty river flows, it's treated almost as a kind of god. Well, you can understand this because it's running through some very, very barren land, very dry land, and it brings, wherever it comes, it brings crops and, you know, fresh air and date palms and things. It brings water for the animals.
I mean, the Nile's much more than Egypt, but when you think about Egypt, Egypt really is a green ribbon running north and south through the desert.
That's what it is.
Fed by the Nile.
The Nile is just exactly that. And without the water of the Nile, suddenly it just goes straight back to desert again. So in a way, they treat it almost like a kind of god. You know, they,
yeah,
revere it.
It's actually the world's longest river. How long is the river?
4,021 miles or something like that.
And the big issue is, where is actually the source?
Where is the source?
I was reading about this, and you covered it in your beautiful TV production. But it is sort of a little bit of discussion. Is it in Rwanda or is it in Burundi? What is your take on that? How do you describe finding the actual source 4,000 miles from that point where the Nile leaves the Mediterranean?
Well, I think that Hanning Speke found it, which was that the river really starts to pour itself out from Lake Victoria.
Right.
That's where it kind of starts. Now, there are lots of little rivers feeding into Lake Victoria. So the stylish thing to do is to find the longest tributary to Lake Victoria,
oh,
and say that then can be called the Nile. But in my heart, even though we went into the Rwanda, we followed the longest one, and you know, we said that's where it is. It's rising in these great mountains in Rwanda.
Okay, so really the Nile
secretly, I would say it's
Lake Victoria.
I would say it's Lake Victoria.
But
I think it does.
All the little discussions and the competitions and so on is a matter of tracking all these little feeder rivers that come into this huge lake between Uganda and Tanzania, and then,
yes,
finding the longest tributary, and that would be technically the source of the Nile.
Kind of technically, but then, you know, part of you would say, well, if it's tipping in to this enormous lake, how can you be sure it's tipping out the other side?
Right. Well,
it might be.
And the odd thing is it flows north. Not many rivers flow north, do they?
No, and certainly not many mighty rivers. Most of them come down, you know, the Mississippi and things, they kind of flow south. And when we look at maps, because we're, well, mad, we look at them and imagine the north is the top, as it were,
right,
and the south is the bottom. And so you'd think that gravity, as it were, would kind of pull the water downwards. But anyway, this enormous, mighty river, debatably, and I'm pretty sure it is the longest river in the world, flows from south to north, and it goes through five immense African countries. Every single one as different as can be, with all their own cultures and histories and climates and peoples.
Now, my image, Joanna, is the Nile in Egypt. But when you look at the map, that's just the final lap, really.
That's just the last bit.
In Egypt, it's a ribbon going through the desert. Would you say it's generally a ribbon going through the desert, or is it in lush territory otherwise?
No, the Sudan, it is a ribbon flowing through the desert of the desert. It's the back of beyond. It's the Nubian desert. It's ancient, and really, really sort of sparse and stony and looks like the side of the moon in most of the places. But then you come into Uganda, where it's as lush and fertile as you can imagine, filled with hippos and great crocodiles and enormous birds, shoebills, and I mean, everything beauteous, like almost like the Garden of Eden. And Rwanda, where it's coming down from the high mountains, we were at about, 8,000 feet when we found our little source, the tributary into Lake Victoria. It comes from the most complex series of climates. But the ones we think of, really, is the mighty Nile travelling through deserts, really the deserts of Sudan and Egypt.
Joanna Lumley is our special guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Before the current political turmoil broke out in Egypt, she filmed an exciting journey along the entire length of the Nile River, from Egypt's Mediterranean coast all the way upstream to its headwaters, 4,000 miles away in the highlands of East Africa. Joanna Lumley's Nile is showing on public television, and it's now available as a DVD released by Athena. We have links in this week's show details in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Joanna, you know, the Nile has two branches, and they come together at Khartoum, the capital of the Sudan. Tell us what the difference between the White Nile is and the Blue Nile.
The Blue Nile rises in Ethiopia. It comes through very, very steep gorges. It's virtually unnavigable. People have tried. Many people have died in the attempt. It's a very, very rushing and steep and rocky river, hurtling. It brings the strength into the Nile. The White Nile, so-called, which is the lower part of the Nile, before they join together the blue and the white and then become the Nile. The White Nile rises sort of in Lake Victoria, debatably in the hills around there. But then it makes its tranquil, placid way down a few cataracts and waterfalls, but largely moving as a broad and uncomplicated navigable river, whereas the Blue Nile comes chopping down, bringing the flood waters to Egypt and the Sudan every year when the great snows melt and the, you know, the rivers fill with water and come rushing down. They're chalk and cheese, really, those two rivers.
Chalk and cheese, white and blue. Joanne, I was really—I was impressed as you were on this ferry in what seemed like the middle of nowhere, and somebody recognized you from your role as a Bond girl on Her Majesty's Secret Service. I was wondering—you traveled 4,000 miles on the Nile, and you've got a Bond girl history with your TV and movie career. Just pretend you're going to write a James Bond bit. Where on the Nile would you write a little James Bond bit?
It would start almost exactly where that kind person recognized me. When you've left the great sophistication and kind of glamorous ancient history of Egypt, the charted area, and suddenly you've crossed Lake Nasser and you're chopping across Lake Nasser towards the tiny jetty into the Sudan, which is the largest African country by far, and it's just a little jetty. And I think that's exactly where James Bond would be waiting, with his eyes narrowed and his hand on the Beretta tucked into his belt.
Perfect.
And there in the distance, in a tank, would be sitting Blofeld, I think.
I love it. And you're right, because it is quite a contrast. You come into, you know, Egypt and there's resorts and there's the Aswan Dam and there's all this great grandiose stuff at Luxor. And then you get to the Sudan, which is, I think it's about as big as the United States, but it's only got maybe 100 miles of paved road. And the welcome is this bare, basic concrete jetty.
Tiny little jetty, yeah.
And then James
And great
Bond
dusty
appears.
Sandy hills and, I mean, pretty thrilling, really.
Okay, now you had, well, let's just kind of go through the itinerary. You start in Egypt and you started in Alexandria. What was your take on Alexandria, the great Egyptian Mediterranean port?
Special. I'd been to Cairo before, but I'd never been to Alexandria. So it was a great, great thrill to come to a place so full of history. So many of the grandest names in history have been there, have lived there, belonged there. It reads like a sort of list of half God, half man, you know?
And it has this wonderful sort of early 20th century history, too, with Art Deco buildings and the intrigue between the wars. Amazing to think like 4 million people live in Alexandria now.
I know, it's extraordinary, isn't it? And the feeling that it is a Mediterranean city. Okay,
yeah.
It's right on the north of North Africa, but it's Mediterranean, and it's got that slightly Mediterranean feel, which disappears almost at once you catch the train and begin to move into the great open farmlands which lead you into Cairo, because by then suddenly you're in an Arab, you're in an Egyptian country. But Alexandria's got a feeling that you're kind of flirting with Nice, you know?
You're right. It's got that flavor of the Mediterranean. And then you lose that when you go to Cairo, just 3 hours away by train or something. What was your take on Cairo?
I adored it. I mean, it is colossal. It's got 18 million people in it. It's phenomenally large. The river is immense at that point, very, very wide, very sleepy, crisscrossed by bridges. Egypt is so full of splendors and wonders, but I think the strangest thing is to realize that the Nile used to flow directly underneath the Great Pyramids. And now, of course, it's pushed right back and it's just a little thin ribbon, and all that land, which was great river and empty land, is now crowded up, jostle, 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 the world growing, pushing up, getting closer and closer to the Great Pyramids.
There's more adventure along the Nile River coming right up as Joanna Lumley's voyage takes us from the pyramids of Egypt and the chaos of Cairo to the classic splendor of Luxor and into Sudan, the Nubian Desert, and the wilds of East Africa. And a little later in the hour, we'll check in with your own travel tales at 877-333-RICK. It's Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.